absolutely welcome you. Thank you very much for applying yourself to the chanting. We will now have a little discovery lecture. I call it a discovery lecture because I try to focus on one point which and deepen that point so that I hope my audience can benefit and make their own personal discoveries. I also want to request maybe Jaigiri Thari to open the window. Kelly Lalita, do we have an issue with neighbors here? Or no. we can chant?
Oh, yeah.
With, no problem.
Our neighbor Jody said, "I love that music you play."
Oh, good. Good. Then we will sing beautifully this morning. Good. I also encourage you, because this is the last session together, if you have any questions which you would like to ask at this stage, please feel free after the lecture to do so. Sometimes when the lecture is over and we are still engaged with the subjects, then we are overwhelmed with so many points and we cannot immediately ask questions. But therefore I'm announcing this now.
Ah, I'm sorry.
Jayam Vishvapada Paramahansa Paravraja Kacharya Stuta Sita Sisimad Festivine Grace La Abe Charanaravinda Srila Bhakti Vedanta Swami Maharaja Srila Prabhupada Ki Anand Koti Vaishnavrinda Ki His confounded Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Nama Acharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Prem Sukh Kaho Si Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasani Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Shyama Kunda Radha Kunda Iri Govardhan Ki Jai Vrindavan Mathura Dham Ki Jai Navadvip Mayapur Dham Ki Jai Ganga Mai Yamuna Mai Ki Jai Bhakti Devi Tulasi Devi Ki Jai Harinam Sankirtan Ki Jai Samabita Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Gaura Prema All glories to Srila Prabhupada. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. All glories to Sri Guru Sri Gauranga. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vistaya Bhutale Srimad Bhakti Vinod Swami Vidina. Oops, Harinam Chintamani, sacred guideline is given to those who wish to chant the holy name in perfection. There is a conversation between Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Haridas Thakur, where, just like in the fantastic theater play, which we saw Friday evening, where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu becomes the listener and Haridas the speaker. It takes place at a very beloved place for the devotees. It takes place under the tree which attained perfection, the Siddha Bakul tree, who was there and listened to Haridas Thakur's perfected chanting of the holy name. So in this guidebook, you will find in 15th chapter the sambandha of the chanting, the abhideya of the chanting, and the prayojana. And in section 1, the truth about the inconceivable glories of the holy name is firmly established. In section 2, the practice of the pure chanting, free from nama aparat and seva aparat, is guided in that, the practice. And finally, in section 3, the goal of the chanting is described. Chanting in one's by experiencing rasa, that means one's original relationship with Krishna, the amazing mellows or tastes which occur in that relationship. Now it's very interesting into this journey, so to say, in which the chanter is taking. There is an entry gate, and it's good to be aware of it, because only if you go through this gate, if you approach the holy name, in other words, through this item or understanding, will you be able to take this journey where you ultimately chant in your relationship to Krishna, where the holy name reveals himself to you as Krishna and gives you also reveals your direct relationship, your constitutional position in relationship to Krishna. So I think in our own journey of the holy name, we have entered this process, some of us more than 50 years ago and others more recently. It's very important to again and again revisit that place from where you can access the holy name. Haridas Thakur very nicely explains this to us. He says that to take up serious chanting, it is first of all necessary to generate faith. He says, anyone, mark his words, anyone, that could be us also, who with undeviating faith takes shelter of chanting Lord Krishna's holy name, knowing well that chanting is the yuga dharma, the religion, the process, the dharma for this age, attains everything. Anyone who with undeviating faith takes shelter of chanting Lord Krishna's name, he can attain everything. What is everything? That is explained by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his discussions with Sanatana Goswami. Everything in spiritual life is one attains Krishna and love for Krishna. More we don't need. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur comments, he says, in giving charity, he compares the chanting with other spiritual processes where faith is not the main criterion. He says, in giving charity, performing other pious deeds like yajna or ritual bath, or japa of other mantras, not the holy name, one must consider whether the time, the place, and the objects are pure or impure. No? When you want to make a yajna, do you have pure ingredients? When you want to take a ritual bath, there are times when you should not take a bath in a holy river. For instance, after sunset, it is described the personality of the holy river River prepares for the night, so please don't disturb and enter the bedroom now. Wait and take your ritual bath the next day. So there are, one must consider whether the time, the place, and the objects are pure or impure. However, faith alone makes one qualified to chant the holy names of Krishna. Nothing else need to be considered. We can also read this. When there is no faith, you are not qualified to chant the holy names on a pure level. So faith is really the only entry into the chanting of the holy name. It's not your chanting. It's not your beads. It's not even your sacred initiation which makes you qualified. It's faith alone. Alone, that means nothing else. That's the fundament for your practice. There is a very nice discussion between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and one of his devotees. He's called Krishnadas. And it is towards the end of Lord Chaitanya's pastime. Lord Chaitanya is sitting at the beach facing the ocean, and he is in a very, very ecstatic mood. For him, the ocean is the sacred river Jamuna, and the forests which are lining the beach, he sees them as none different from the Vrindavan forest. So he is in ecstasy. He is preparing almost for his departure. It's very close to when he will leave the devotees. And one devotee, Krishnadas, comes and says, "My Lord, I have a question." And Mahaprabhu acknowledges this and encourages him to speak out. And Krishnadas says, "My Lord, I see that some devotees make progress very quickly, whereas others progress is delayed, and in some cases severely delayed. What is the reason?" "They all chant the holy name, the name which you have given to us, but they are different, speeds, or it happens with different, in different degrees, their advancement. What is the criterion here to be observed?" Mahaprabhu says, "It's faith alone." Hare Krishna. "My dear devotee, I have seen two times you were attacked by brother sleep." I'm just saying that he might still come another time, so better breathe a little. So this is very important to consider. Now, we all have faith because we would not sit here if there would be no faith. But we have faith. But the question which we can ask ourselves is there anything I can do to deepen my faith? Is there anything? It is said, there's something which you will find very interesting, by Vyasadeva. He says, "Deep faith gives birth to virya." Virya means vigor or an energetic endeavor to pursue the practices of Krishna consciousness, you know, and inner strength. That means when you have faith, you are very strong. I remember, and I think all my God brothers remember this time when we were with Srila Prabhupada, and he gave so much faith to us that we were going through incredible austerities. I know the devotees everywhere spread the movement. The world thought they are Hare Krishnas everywhere, but there were the same few people who were running like very fast, like flashes all over. Or in Germany, I remember. I took only one hot bath and a bathing tub a week. But soon I was on the streets doing sankirtan, and every morning we had to take our shower from buckets which had cold water. And but no problem. The change of habit was easily done by this deep faith. Mm. Devotees who have built this movement, my dear devotees, they did such a monumental endeavor because they were carried by an inner strength which comes from virya, which comes from shraddha. And that was the feeling when Srila Prabhupada was with us. He said it. Impossible is a word in a academic fool's dictionary. No, it goes in a fool's dictionary. Mm-hmm. Yes. So virya gives birth. Then if you have inner strength, you will have smriti. What is this? This can translate as a remembrance, but it means also an undisturbed mind. That no matter what life throws at you, you remain undisturbed because your faith in Krishna and the process to attain Him is just so strong that you are really equipped with a special certain strength which makes you undisturbed from regarding what life, the waves of life, bring into your life. This smriti, this undisturbed mind, where you keep the goal firmly in your mind, again, will give birth to samadhi, or undisturbed concentration on spiritual life. You're with it. Samadhi again brings us to pragya, the realization from what is soul and what is not soul, what is the Lord and what is His energy. So, very long ago, His Holiness Satswarup Maharaj published a very nice journal of some of ISKCON's history, and he discussed a meeting with the GBC where Srila Prabhupada addressed his GBC representatives, his leaders of the movement, and he addressed them with the question, "Are you convinced?" He wanted to know, is their faith strong? Because you require faith in order to do the activities of Krishna consciousness. Are you convinced? Now if your spiritual master asks you, if Prabhupada asks you, are you convinced, then something you may say, but not like you. And Prabhupada then took that up. He said, I am convinced, and therefore I can push on this movement in this old age. Okay. He described his own realization. So the question, obviously, which is like an elephant in the room, which needs to be addressed, is how can we deepen our faith? Is there anything in the scriptures? Are there any quotations from acharyas? Is there anything which can help us? I would want to start with the acharyas and then go to the scriptures first, because we learn from great exalted Vaishnavas very easily. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur addressed this question, how to get strength, the strength which faith gives you. He says, when one serves the Skota Master with love and devotion, one may get plenty of strength in his heart. That is the experience which our generation, means our the old timers, have. And we had, as far as I'm concerned, I noticed many mistakes in myself. It's just joint Krishna consciousness. But we also made many mistakes, we have to say this. But there was one thing which was very strong. It was Guru Nishtha, the faith in Srila Prabhupada. My God, was this strong, beautiful. And therefore, so many extraordinary things happened, even despite of our mistakes. Because one can get the strength in his heart, plenty of strength in his heart, by serving the spiritual master with love and devotion. And so I encourage you to take something. How can you serve Srila Prabhupada and your own spiritual masters with determination, and the strength will come. You will see strength which is not from your own the heart, which strength which is given to you. The next place where faith resides, the beautiful goddess of faith, says Bhaktivinoda Thakur, she is in the association of devotees. When good devotees come together, satang prasanga mama virya samvidu, when they come and discuss, then this virya, this inner strength, is appearing in the heart, because shraddha is increased. Shraddha bhakti shraddharatiya bhakti anukramishyati. It says in gradual steps, anukramishyati means in gradual installments, shraddha comes in the association of devotees, then rati, this refers to Bhava Bhakti, and then Bhakti, which refers to the highest state of Bhakti, Prema Bhakti. This comes. But Shraddha Devi resides there. We may not see her. Where is Shraddha Devi? How does she look? What zari is she dressed in? The Matajis will ask. There is an answer to your question. It's a white zari. That's how Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes her. Mataji said this orientation. Shraddha Devi resides in the heart of, resides in discussions amongst devotees, and then comes into the heart of the listeners and takes a seat there, very welcome seat there. So this faith then needs to be, in order to deepen it, this initial faith which comes when you sit with devotees, needs now be placed by you into two places. Faith, says Vishwanath Chakravarti, needs to be placed in the Bhakti scriptures, especially the Bhagavatam. When you read the Bhakti scriptures, you should read them with faith. Then they act and give you what is called Shastra Kripa. Yes, also the Shastras have Kripa. They give you their mercy, and so on, when you approach them faithfully. And then the faith should be placed in a, listen to this, this is from Vishwanath Chakravarti, into the aspiration or the exclusive determination to attentively follow the process of devotion as it is described in the Bhakti scriptures. So go to the devotees, discuss also if you may have some confidential doubt that happens in life, it's a sign of a very active intelligence which always wants to analyze everything. So go there to participate in the discussions, maybe ask questions confidentially. And then, when you have some faith, go do something about it to strengthen it, to solidify it. That is, go to the Bhakti scriptures and have some, and then follow the processes with some determination which they give. I have something personal to relate on this. See, since many, many years I'm somehow blessed, I find in my heart a determination to chant extra rounds in the month of Kartik. And one Kartik I was chanting extra rounds, but it was very difficult because I had a very disturbing ailment. This ailment, it was, I don't know if in English you have furuncle. It's like a boil really. But it was what?
Carbuncle.
It was a carbuncle. Thank you. And it was at a place which is too embarrassing to reveal in the public assembly. And it became so bad, my dear devotees, that in order to avoid the excruciating pain, I had to do a stand on my shoulder stand, you say in English, so that the blood would come away from the circulation would come a little bit less to the affected parts. It was so painful, really painful. And it was really like, like such a pain. So I had taken with me some bhakti scriptures, which I thought were relevant in my life, but I could manage to chant sometimes in this position, but not read. And also, I was so distraught, with pain. And I knew it only surgery takes it away, and I certainly will not go to an Indian village doctor with a problem like that. So I wanted to complete. I like chanting, so I wanted to complete. But it was becoming difficult. So I thought, am I fanatical here? Or maybe I am, but I don't care. I lie. I want to chant somehow. This is my time with the holy name. But I knew to get some chanting, you need to also understand more about Krishna if you want to chant for a long time. So therefore you go to scriptures and read. And my dear devotees, I couldn't concentrate on any of the literature until I took out the Srimad Bhagavatam, and I read it, and I was surprised because we old people sometimes read many things. But I went back to the Bhagavatam, and I found out as I read it, there's life beyond the body, and there's life beyond the mind. But my dear devotees, it was not a conceptual, a theoretical understanding. I somehow became so absorbed that I didn't notice the pain as it was there, but it was no longer distracting me entirely. And what I noticed here was that by reading the scriptures, somehow I got a strength, an inner strength to tolerate the problems of material existence, which will always be there. Physical problems, mental problems is always there. You, especially in Odish, you have to learn to just, yes, it's there, so what? I go on with my spiritual life. And that came, really, that strength came, because the faith was generated by reading the Bhakti scriptures, and because I invested in the Bhagavatam on good faith, the Bhagavatam gave me more faith, and then my chanting soon was also. It went very nicely. I remember now when I go back in my memory, of course it says pain has no memory, but when I go back I thought, what a blissful Kartik month. And afterwards I also went into a hospital, no problem. So my dear devotee's faith comes in the association of devotees, but it's strengthened and deepened and made firm if you invested in the Bhakti scriptures, and also, this is the second thing, in the process which they recommend. The chanting of the holy name is the Yuga Dharma. It's done for this age of Kali to attain spiritual perfection. Take you whatever faith you have, bring it there, strengthen it by the Bhakti scriptures, and then bring it to the chanting. I want to end by saying why you should have faith in the holy name. I want to offer you a convincing argument. Let's see if it works. Haridas Thakur glorifies the holy name in a very interesting way. He says, nothing is like the holy name in this world of birth and death. The holy name of Krishna is the greatest treasure in Lord Krishna's treasure house. So when we hear this, okay, Krishna apparently has a treasure house. And let us, what is the greatest treasure there? The holy name. Oh, isn't it love of God, or prema bhakti, or radha bhakti, or this exalted state? Why is the holy name, from all other treasures, Krishna has so many, the greatest? And the reason is, which is given, is that in this conditioned state we are not able to directly have the darshan of Lord Krishna, because our eyes are too covered. We are not able to see the Lord directly. And that is a problem. But the Lord, knowing our problem, comes and descends to us in a form in which we can directly interact with Him in a very, let me say, uncomplicated manner, without many different rules or regulations, without any considerations of time, place, and circumstances. He comes to us in a most accessible form. He comes, so to say, into our prison. Whoop! And he comes there and he takes over. I come from a family of warlords, and I want to give you a war-like example which I once heard. At the moment we are occupied by an enemy, Maya. It's everywhere in our mind, in our senses, we are in this body, and so on. But the holy name comes as comes like the Elliot forces who landed at the beach of the Norma, France, to drive out the German devil from France, it's the Nazis. So that's the analogy. I think you will appreciate the humor. We are occupied. There's a foreign occupation is taking place in our heart. But the holy name comes. And he lands at the edge of our ear. And if we now let him in, and let him in into our heart, he will conquer the territory which is occupied, and he will eventually sit on the throne of the heart and rule from there. But you have to let him in. I do know the Germans, my father has fully informed me about everything, had occupied France, and they were really slowly wanting to occupy all of Europe, not slowly, quickly they wanted. And then the world became concerned, and America took initiative, and they came with the Marines, and they needed to land somewhere. To then drive them, because this conventional war, they needed to drive them away and defeat them. And it was very difficult for them to land on the coastal line, because obviously the German artillery was there waiting for them. But they made it somehow or other, and then they could drive, eventually defeat the Germans. Thank Krishna.
There was the Battle of the Bulge, you know. There was a counterattack. The Ardennes Forest.
Yeah,
the you have that too.
Yes. Actually, Ravindra Swarup is more educated than me, because his father was also very informed and so on. But yes, so the holy name comes with another. The idea is another Shakti, not Maya Shakti. The spiritual energy comes with his spiritual energies. And he conquers and covers Maya, and that is very, very useful for our. But we need to let him in. We need to give him attention. We need to allow the holy name to come. Anyways, the convincing argument is that you cannot become Krishna conscious so easily by your own efforts. But if Krishna comes and helps you, then, my dear devotees, it's very easy. He can do. Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes this. Everything, he says, in the material world is made of Maya. The enemy has taken over. Everything in this world is dull and inert. By Lord Krishna's will, some individual souls are imprisoned in the material world. That's us. They are the only spiritual entities in the material world. Assuming the form of his holy name, Lord Krishna has descended into the material world. The holy name is thus the second spiritual entity in the material world. Now there's you. You belong to Krishna, you are his part, but you are covered by the dull and inert matter, and this brings you into a compromised position and a helpless position. But then the holy name comes as the second spiritual entity. Now, my dear devotees, the two have to meet every day, continuously they have to meet. Every day you need to chant with affection the holy name, and when the meeting takes place in the heart, and then you will experience relief from the miseries of material existence. And the holy name will shower unprecedented nectar into your life. Many of you are active preachers in the Bhakti Center in New York, and there is a lot of material energy. It's a very passionate town. It boils around you. Anyone who wants to make an experience which he will never forget needs to only take the subway in New York and go through the intestines of the beast, you know. it's really something. With my village boy, we had big eyes, you know. Our New York guide needed to grab our wrist and pull us through the subways. It was so amazing. and you are preaching in the Bhakti Center in this foreign land, in this under this passion is all around. You need to be careful that you every day invite the Lord to come and land on the coast of your ear, and then let him come in and let him take care of your own deliverance. He will take care of this. Even sometimes you may not be able to chant with great attention. You may be tired, or there may be a disturbing thing in your mind which keeps you, but you should try to chant. And if there is something where you feel your faith needs to be increased, go to the devotees, discuss with them, because Shraddha Devi lives in their association. Discuss with them. Therefore, Radhanath Maharaj has advised you in the Bhakti Center to form very firm bonds amongst yourselves, devotional bonds, and also invite your community into this bond, the spiritual bonding. And then read in the Bhakti scriptures where faith is residing, especially the Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita. And you will see great virya, inner strength, will bless you. You will move forward with your glorious efforts in preaching Krishna consciousness in this very important town of the world with great happiness. I want to thank you very much for inviting me. I want to thank our illustrious hosts, gracious hosts, Kelly Lalita, their good husband Sachi Sutta, Prabhu, for making this space available for this wonderful gathering. Thank you very much.
And also Shraddha.
And also Shraddha. Shraddha, we talk about Shraddha. She is arranging everything. So thank you all very much, and such a great happiness for me to be with all of you. This is when we are preaching like this, traveling, and so many outreach programs, but then we are with our own family. Oh Krishna, we can talk about the things which matter amongst devotees, faith, and how can we increase faith. It's such pure subjects which are so enlivening to the heart to discuss and so on. Yes, thank you very much for inviting me, giving me your hospitality. I'm very, very moved. Now I will have to go. Don't know how I will survive it. We will go zoom to Ukraine, and when we stumble out of the airplane, 7,000 devotees want an ecstatic kirtan by Sachinanda Swami. Hare Krishna. Anyways, Krishna can use us if he wants. And then Russia, same thing. There are so many devotees in Russia. 5,000. Ukraine, more of devotees come for the festival than Russia. And then I don't even want to think further, because otherwise I get I'd be the eyes begin to tremble. Hare Krishna. Good. Any questions you would like to raise? Yes, Prabhu. Your good name, please.
My name is Kashi Shrodas, I'm from Ukraine.
Originally.
Dear Maharaj, when a devotee keeps chanting for some time, naturally many auspicious things occur, many blessings are coming, so on. As Śrīla Bhaktivinoda Thakura describes in the Harinam Chintamani, on the stage of Namabhas, the shadow of the Holy Name brings a lot of auspiciousness and blessings and a lot of good things and come to interact with the devotee. And then, as an immature devotee, I start thinking that, you know, this is the sign of my advancement. And then, you know, sometimes one can become a little puffed up, and obviously you affect also relationship with others. So my question is that how one can keep focused regardless all these auspicious good things coming, but keep oneself completely focused on the Holy Name, and, you know, longing for getting Krishna instead of getting all the
other things. Yeah, it is true. When you are on this path of chanting, then there are many blessings coming. But it's important to then understand this is not because of you. It is because of the mercy of the Lord. I will give you an analogy which helps me very much. To avoid this unnecessary pride. And I will give an analogy which comes from your own, not actually Ukraine, but Russia. There was a very, very good actor who produced many movies. He was also God conscious. His name was Peter, and then with M, something with M. And he was once interviewed. You have produced so much literature. You have produced so many films. You have been in so many good theater performances. But we hear that you talk to the flower lady and you talk to the simple people. You have remained modest, humble. How? And he said, I don't want to be like that donkey. And then he told, who is that donkey? He said, when Jesus was riding on his donkey into Jerusalem at the Passover feast, there was a big celebration. People greeted him as the Messiah, and they threw flowers upon him, and they used these palm twigs, and they fanned him. But he was very humble. He sat there and he understood, this is only glory which is meant to go to my Father, my Divine Father. Now the donkey on which he rode had a different idea. He thought, finally the town of Jerusalem has recognized my unadulterated glories. Finally, they wave a good fresh air in my direction. Finally, they throw flowers. And he happily proclaimed his acknowledgement by braying very loudly. So, of course, all the Jerusalem people thought, what a disturbance. It's a sacred thing in the welcoming ceremony. This donkey doesn't know to behave. This man, a very God-conscious man, said, I don't want to be like that donkey who takes the glories and things because of me. And really, if we look at everything, Kashishvara Prabhu, very carefully, we are conditioned souls, who knows what we did already before Krishna consciousness. There are many embarrassing things which we did. We are not a special people, we are specially blessed, you know. That's a huge difference. And we should be grateful, and we should know that, and we should give credence. There is something which in spiritual circles is known. When you are praised, there is danger that you take it to your heart and think, yes, I mean, objectively speaking, it's true. I mean, subjectively, I will say, no. But I did all this. No, I just gave the lecture. Devotee said, thank you very much. So, objectively speaking, it was inspiring. Why not be realistic? Yes, I will try to maintain humility after all. It's the trend in ISKCON. No, but if you look carefully, it is so. Yeah, no, I wanted to say. So yes, praise can be dangerous in the sense of reversing your intelligence. Therefore, it is said in spiritual circles, the praise must be given to the spiritual master. You must distribute, oh yeah, it was his mercy. He picked me up, he engaged me in devotional service, he educated me through his literature, and it is his doing. In other words, praise can be like a cup of poison coming your direction, so don't drink it, not that you give the poison to your spiritual master, but you give the praise to your spiritual master. Here the analogy has to be switched. You give the praise to your spiritual masters because of the mercy of we can see that very much in Srila Prabhupada, how we always referred to his own spiritual master. He said, my only credit is that I followed my spiritual path. That's what his mindset, his inner feeling. So be aware when it comes. I know it looks, finally. And maybe we have a small minority complex or something psychological, and we feel if I need to be appreciated, otherwise I die. And to some degree, it's true. We all need some warmth and affection, especially from other devotees. Naturally, there's nothing so entirely wrong. But we must see, my dear devotees, when it comes and you take it and you accept it, then you can become what you describe. So therefore, give it to Srila Prabhupada, your own spiritual master, and so on. Then it loses its poisonous effect. It just loses all the effect. And by the way, Kashish Maharaj, this is a vision of reality. It is not that this is now some twisting of the mind. Good. Yes, Vasudev.
Mark, you've been stressing a lot on understanding Sahaja, the goal in order to chant with attention, with faith. In the context of your lecture today, how would you suggest we increase our faith in Sahaja? In what parts of the scriptures could we invest our energy, our faith?
Yes. Our goal is serving Krishna, and how we can increase this awareness. Vasudev, I'm very happy to see, just yesterday I read, Prabhupada said, Krishna Katha, it's in the Bhagavatam Prabhupada, I will find it. It would be nice to read it directly. Would you be so kind to go down the stairs? Prabhupada there says that Krishna Katha is what helps the conditioned soul in Kali Yuga most, he says there. He says other times the chanting, but hearing about Krishna, I think, is very important. You need to hear for a prolonged time, and then Krishna is for you more of you engage your mind with Krishna. Hearing or reading and so on. I know in the old times we used to read every night Krishna book. That was, I don't know how this came about, but that was a practice because we felt also we would maybe dream of Krishna. Sorry. I want to read you something about Krishna Katha. Thank you very much. Which really struck my attention. Attention. Here, it's here. Wow. Even a person perpetually condemned to the miseries of material existence can get relief from bondage if he simply agrees to hear only Krishna Katha. In this age of Kali, the process of hearing Krishna Katha is the most effective means to gain release from unwanted family affection. Family affection is good. Unwanted family affection. And thus find permanent freedom in life. In this age of Kali, the process of hearing Krishna Katha is the most effective means to gain release from unwanted family affection and thus find permanent freedom in life. The age of Kali is full of sinful reactions, and people are more and more addicted to the qualities of this age. But simply by hearing and chanting of Krishna Katha, one is sure to go back to Godhead. Therefore, people should be trained to hear only Krishna Katha by all means. Wow, it is very firm. In order to get relief from all miseries. If you want to know the reference, because it is really an outstanding glorification of the need to hear about Krishna, please refer back to Canto 3, Chapter 5, Purport to Text 44. Should I repeat for those of you who would like to take notes? No?
Yes.
Good. 3, 5, 44. It's a very, very nice purport with emphasis on Krishna Katha. And you need to hear about Krishna to maintain your chanting, so that when you chant, you can actually connect the names to the person. You know, it's a personal thing. There's one professor at the Vienna University who's reading Prabhupada's books and likes them very much. And he said, the greatest discovery which I made is that the absolute truth is not an it. He's a psychologist, professor of psychology. But he's a he. And you need now to, he's a person, you know, that means a personal relationship is required, and that comes when you hear Krishna Katha, and you hear about him more and more. The example is given of Rukmini. Rukmini was at the court of her father, King Bhishmaka, little princess, little means small in age, young in age, and Narada Muni would come regularly and talk about Krishna. And as she heard, as a young person, she made this firm determination, I will only marry Krishna. Just from hearing, she wanted to enter into a very deep relationship with the Lord. This is the effect of Krishna Katha. Good. My dear devotees, time is also there, and many things are today still there to be done. I thank you once again, Giridhari Prabhu. My affection to you has increased like the Himalayas. Thank you for arranging this retreat and for implementing His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj's instruction to you all, that is to make deep bonds between you. And once again, thank you so much for hosting this. Akili Lalita, Sachi Sutta, Shraddha, and so on, and welcoming the devotees. They need your affection. They're having a heart of service, and it's thank you so much. Please invite them again and again. Good. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Shishi Gaur Nitai ki jai, Gaur Premanande Hariyari Gaur.
Satchin Swaraj ki jai.